It's now time for the show, Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, as we say goodnight to the host, Mr. Sluggy Dan.
Manners and respect. Shout outs to everyone in Oyster Things coming up there. Shortly, got a production in Oyster Things with 10 young artists, you know, between the ages of like 14 and 18, extremely young, performing in Oyster Things tonight, full production. So shout outs to everyone already up there. As soon as we left, we heading up there. Thanks to the National Cultural Foundation and thanks to the National Peace Program. Thanks a million for all the support. This evening is going to be extra special. I love when opportunities come for the youth, and I'm glad we're having our special guest here this evening so he could hear this as well. This group, Ollie, come from Canada. You know, they travel all over the world. Professional acts, the circus, which you don't really see in Barbados a lot. So they train the youth in the various circus acts. And as we all know, this is a long career. And as we all know, there are many different jobs and careers in the circus industry. And here, this Ollie, they are coming here and doing it and offering some training to the youth for free.
Job opportunities, Sluggy?
For the orphan youth, they got a camp coming up, training in various areas, and they're offering it for free for about 30 young people, which I think is absolutely brilliant. They have a website. You could tell persons the website so they could go and check it out, Ollie.
Okay, Sluggy. The website is www.call me, just pull it right up here, Slugs. Have it on the computer, but I want to confirm the address. www.squarecirclehq. So you can put in Square Circle HQ and it should come up. Go to Google, Square Circle HQ, and the actual website is www.squarecirclehq.
Right, just type in Square Circle HQ and you will get through. You don't have to mention you don't have to put in W. Just Google Square Circle HQ and you will get through. From Canada, they are from Canada, I must add. And we have on the line Clarence Ford. Good evening, sir. Welcome to the greatest island anywhere in the human hemisphere, Barbados. How are you?
Great, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on. And thanks for choosing Barbados. So I have to answer a question. Why did you choose Barbados?
We just think because it's the greatest thing on the planet.
you have Bajan heritage? This might be biased.
Yes, I do. Oh. Yes, I do. My mother and father. I'm born in Toronto. My father is Nova Scotian, but his grandmother and all my cousins are born here, and also my mother is born here. Well, and I have a thick, you know, cuckoo and flying fish, Bajan.
So what are you offering for the Bajan public and our young persons, and how can they benefit in the future from what you are offering?
Okay, so if I can back it up a bit, and I'd like to explain what Square Circle is. So what we did, we started 10 years ago. If any of the kids want to know, my background is a choreographer. And I choreographed a show called Kuza from Cirque du Soleil. So if you want to Google Kuza, K-O-O-Z-A, and it's from Cirque du Soleil. And that's how it all started. My background is a choreographer from doing videos and commercials and everything. And now I am bringing it to Barbados. And our school is 10 years in existence. And we've gone through 8,000 kids already in our program in Toronto, Canada. And now we are bringing it here to Barbados. And our program is to service them. And for kids, maybe not always in careers, in circus, but I think Barbados will be kind of different because we're doing some things that are different. But what it creates is opportunities. It creates confidence, team building. And it's a relationship. We become a great family. And like our kids from Toronto came to down to Barbados. Exactly the same thing going to happen in reverse, where you have the Beijing kids come to Toronto. And eventually, at time as goes on, when they start coming into our program, they could be teaching and doing shows. There's so many things that could be involved in what we're doing.
Love it. I absolutely love it. No, where will these classes be held and when?
So we're going to basically be doing it at UWE, the dance department, the theater arts department at UWE. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're starting with ages 7 to 19 years old.
7
we're
to 19?
Yes, and we have them in two different groups. We're going to have them and divide them into two groups, and we're going to have 30 kids per group. And what we're going to do is first come, first serve, because our program, as I said, we've gone through many of our kids in Toronto, so we'll create a waiting list because usually our program gets filled. And what we're doing that's so unique, we're adding technology to our program.
Nice.
So we're going to be using the latest type of technology. So you're going to be doing circus and technology, which we're helping to have this grow into the future. And we're kind of like ahead of the game in innovation in circus.
And you're saying that this is going to be free?
Yes, free program.
How can parents reach out to you?
Okay, so what it is at University at UWE, we're going to be part of the Imagination Youth Program. And we're going to have a website. And just because this just came up, we're going to put up a website. We're going to be probably coming back on the show. I hope, Sluggy, we can come back on the show and give you more info. And we're going to have our website up. But right now, you can go to the Imagination Youth Program. And our program is like a social circus.
Where? You can go to Imagination Youth Program where?
Part of UWE.
You can go to it where? How can you register? How can someone sign up to be part of it?
So through the Faculty of Culture and Creative Performing Arts.
So they have to go. They have to go there. Is there a number they can call or anything?
There's not a number yet. This today is the announcement to get everybody there. But what we're going to do is we're going to post it up on our site, and we'll have it posted by Monday
on squarecircle.ca.
Yes.
Okay. We'll have cool. Something posted there. On Monday, persons can visit squarecircle.ca and they will see how to sign up.
And here's another here's something we could do is you can dial the number 246-417-4776. Again, the number is 246-417-4776. I'll repeat that one third time.
Okay, 417-417.
Oh, sorry, no. Sorry, 246.
Wait, hold on.
417.
Hold on, you don't need to mention 246. Okay. Great. 417-4776. That's it, Ollie?
Great.
417, yeah. Everyone. 417-4776. And it's 60 children you are taking for free.
Yes, in between the ages of 11 years old to 17.
And it is a two-week camp.
Yes, it's circus. It's going to be a circus. And at the end of it, we're going to have a huge performance.
No problem.
Seven Fingers from Montreal is going to be partnering with us.
Yeah.
And also we have UWE and Humber College from Toronto.
Oh, that is awesome. Humber College from Toronto, which is extremely established. And I'm sure that this is an extremely unique opportunity for Barbadians and a great opportunity for the youth, Ollie. And I like that he's doing it absolutely free. We have a special guest. I must mention our guest quickly, Mr. Matt Fingal, who obviously needs no introduction, but obviously the person that many Bajans look at to a teacher and educator, a coach, a mentor, you know, an artist, and so many other things they have to salute. And one of the greatest of our time, for sure, one of the greatest minds and one of the greatest entertainers, I think, we've ever had. So we must salute him. And also, everybody know Matt loves sports, and Matt is a health enthusiast. Can't say enthusiast anymore, I'm gonna be an expert, but you know. Doing it too long. If you do saying over and over and at a high level, that's how you become an expert. I heard. So I think you're an expert, but you know. But I must ask you, Matt, because I know things like this is very dear to you. How does these opportunities with sports and arts and these things, besides you just doing it as a career after, how does it help besides that? Because there gotta be some reason that things like this is work. Because to me, it's work.
Mm.
You get me? You get what we're trying to ask?
Yeah. Right. What are your brother still there, though?
Yes, please. He's still there.
What happened earlier? He said 11 to 19, I think.
Yeah.
And then just he said 17. I won't be sure which one it is. He probably got a little confused there.
Is 7 to 11 and then 11 to 19? That's what you're trying to say?
The dates are August the 7th?
No, the age.
The ages.
8, 11 to 17.
Uh-huh.
11, that's our ages.
11 to 17 is the ages?
Yes.
I thought I heard earlier you said up to 19.
Yeah, because earlier he said to 19.
Yeah. Is it 17 or 19, the limit?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. No, you see, earlier, yes. I thought I heard you say earlier up to 19. Because I was thinking that I just missed it because I think I'm about 20 right now. But
you know what?
Just know you said 17.
because you're a special person, I can pass you through because I think that you look younger.
But no, seriously, is it 17 or is it 19?
It's 17.
17, okay.
What is your high school age here? What is high school end at?
Some can go to 19. Some get to at, some leave at 18. You know, some even leave at 17. But if you go to what we call sixth form and everything, you would come out at 19 most of the time.
So basically, to be honest, what we do for Toronto, we finish at high school. So whatever the age is, the limit of high school, what it is.
Right, they'd be 19.
So it'd be 19. Yeah, sorry for my mistake.
We have an institution here called the Community College. Which where you can do your what we call A levels, which is years ago you had ordinary level and then A levels. When we used to do the British stuff, which was Oxford and Cambridge, but now we have our own thing in the Caribbean, CXC. So we don't call them O levels anymore; they're CXCs, and then we do CAPE and all that, which is now like the advanced stuff. So, but you can go to the community college, which is a 2-year institute, and do your A-level studies there too. And you probably finish at CM19, then you go on from there to UWI, and you finish up then what you want to do over there. However, what your program is doing, as Lucky was saying, asking just now about what it does with these type of activities and the discipline that it has, to me, it builds character. Where, the discipline involved, is trust involved, there's honesty involved when you're doing circus work, and I'm thinking about the people doing the what they call the trapeze people. It's strictly about trust, and it's about responsibility and concentration, and these are the things that can carry through in any profession when you get to, if you were to study. And sports do that too, because when you're in sports, if you're relying on somebody to pass the ball at a specific moment, and then for you to be in a specific position and to remember all, and then if you're a leader, you get leadership qualities. You get sometimes in an organization, might be secretary, which then teaches you responsibility. And if you're the treasurer, that is you get to be trustworthy. So it's so much that you learn. And then there's the team concept, the whole thing of the social benefits. Then there's of course the physical part of it, which is extremely good because it's your body. Your body's made to exercise, as far as I'm concerned. And when you're fit in your body, your mind, and your mind is fit. It's to me, I view them as working together. Some people, for instance, you got some parents here. As soon as their children get into fifth form, they call and say, "Oh, my child is now doing this subject and that subject, so we won't be able to play football anymore. We won't be able to play cricket anymore. We won't be able to play basketball anymore." And that's crazy because, if the brain is fit for mass, it's fit for basketball. And if it's fit for basketball, it's fit for mass. It's the one brain. And we make sure that it's fit in sports. And I know you're going to make sure it's fit for the circus. And that the same brain you're going to use for mass and to do your calculations. And then in terms of memory, and some subjects are just memory. Some are really, called for it being intellectual. Intelligent, I should say, which is like when you start to deduce and analyze, that's where intelligence comes in my opinion. But there are certain subjects that you just got to regurgitate and you pass them too. Just history don't change. If something happened in 1772, that's what happened. You write it down, you remember, that's it, regurgitation. Geography in a lot of ways the same thing. Religious knowledge is the same thing too. But then you got the other subjects, but it's all a discipline. And I believe that our children should take advantage of this particular program. And the fact that you're doing 30 for free. Oh, when you're doing 30 for free, that means first come, first serve. Is it then that those after 30 would not be free, or you're just cutting off at 30?
No, it's 60 kids in total. Mm. We have 60 kids in total, 30 and 30. We divide it up in 30 and 30. And to add to what you're saying with our program, we have a lot of athletes come to our program. The one thing is special about circus is that it's two worlds. It's arts, and then it's also physical activity. So it's physical because you have to be good at both. And then the other thing about adding about sports, you know, we had, as I said, a few basketball players because the eye-hand coordination for juggling.
Yep.
It's like second to none. Mm-hmm. And also in our program in Toronto, we had about 4 to 5 kids that have scholarships out of school from our program, from being in our program, from doing volunteer work and whatever, and doing what they've done and are from working in our program. Because not only do you learn the circus, but we have people coming back and working with us. So there's work opportunities with us as well. Mm. So when they're trying to put themselves through school and things like that, they can come back and work in the program. It's like give back. Yeah. And you learn.
What percentage of the students that come through your program, when they finish, that actually remain in the area of circus?
To be honest, like, I think it's going to be different here in Barbados because the circus school, you start from young. Mm. You start from a young age. And therefore, it'd be like most of our kids will go on to academics and to sports and things like that. Mm. In the real circus world, it could be like it could be half and half. Mm. In the real circus world, circus kids start like the show that I choreographed, I was saying earlier on, is Kuza. They've been doing it all their life. This is what they do as a livelihood. Mm. They train, you know, practically, you know, 6 days a week, you know, eight hours a day. And that's their full-time job, and that's what they aim to do. And they go to places like the National Circus School. When kids graduate out of the National Circus School, we have probably 98% of the kids that graduated out of that school get jobs around the world working in circus. Mm.
Now, traditionally, we were made to believe that circus is like based on families. You know, you always see like the father and the son and the grandchild.
That was always my belief. Circus is a family business.
Yeah, but from what he's saying, I think that tradition is being dissolved.
Mm. It is totally.
Yes, it's changed. It's changed now because what it is, circus arts has crossed over into different worlds, and you see performers because the National Circus School, they audition. It's the circus is growing. It's growing throughout the world. What we're doing, social circus, is around the world. It's a different program than the circus and just trying to get into circus. But what I think with Barbados, because we're doing something really different, we're ahead of the game. We're bringing technology. Like motion capture and these different types of technologies that we're going to bring into the circus world. And what's going to happen, I want to make Barbados the circus capital of the West Indies. That changes the game.
Listen, I want that when you're doing this circus, you use some Bajan music. When we're juggling the balls and the pins and so on and flipping about, I want some soca and calypso music during this circus, because I do hear music playing sometimes. You have any plans to use our music?
Oh yeah, of course. And what I want to do is with our music, with the Bajan music as the soca and calypso, I want to bring it out to the world. And the thing I want to do is there's a thing that we do in our show. We have musicians like a beatbox guy, beatboxing, a violinist, different instrumentations. We want to bring something different to the world. Instead of what they've already seen, I want to reinvent what circus is and have a Bajan have its own culture of circus that can be out to the world. Something totally different that where we have musicians that are totally different. If you hear some of our beatbox guys, I mean, some of the best in the world, we got some our guys and musicians and violinists and calypso adding different styles of music. And it's a fascinating thing to see and watch how the music is all produced.
Is it still heavily dominated by animals?
No animals. It's theatrical.
Okay.
Ours is a theatrical thing. Mm-hmm. And most of it, it's created. What's going to eventually happen, once the kids start to see what they can do and they have no ceiling, the whole idea was square circle. As I'm saying, we have no ceiling. The square circle, the logo is something that transcends itself. It's the circle is the energy of the kids, and the square around it is a safe place for them to be in. So on all levels, we, as you were saying earlier on, teamwork, safety, family. We become a family because, you know, circus, when you get into the high aerials and stuff, it's life and death. So everybody has to work together as a unit and care.
I love it. I love it. Ollie, I wanted to hear some music, and I want to hear what act he would do to music like this.
The song you want, Slugs?
I want one by Matt. Hey, Trent.
Juggling that one.
Yo, my man, listen to me, right? I hear say, pana, yeah, pana, pop, pop.
Wait, my man,
he's still here. I can let you chill with me till we finish. We go off. We give him the name. Clarence is the name, right? Pronouncing it right?
Yes, man.
Clarence, you heard that song, Clarence? You know, I picture a man here juggling, pana. And juggling, so, and pana, pana, only cycle out.
Clarence,
guys, here's what I see.
Go
on, check this visual. I check this visual of like 10 kids doing a pyramid, and all of a sudden you have 30 jugglers coming out doing the same thing all at the same time, choreographed.
My goodness.
And then the song breaks and changes.
In a pyramid. Wait, hold on. When you say in the pyramid, they'll be how they be standing on top of each other?
Yes.
Yeah, like or kneeling like on like in a dog position, like in a dog position.
You so wait, hold on. So you get children to do things like this?
Yes,
man. Yes.
I like to say for young people doing Mackie.
No, you understand.
And the soccer play. You?
Yes, man.
I
saw something only about 2 days ago, where you know normally the trapeze and them. If you miss, you have the net below, they could hit and come back. But what this lady did, she was hanging by her from her feet by the trapeze at the top, and then she just deliberately she dropped. She was moving back, but she dropped to the net below, which was like what they call it. It was not like a trampoline, more or less. And then she hit and fly right back up to the same.
Trapeze,
and landed in a sitting position.
Hey, Mr. B, late. How you say you got a 2 week camp? He said he got a 2 week camp, right, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to something where I saw them do a display, money, right? Not a video display, a live one. The kids was from overseas. They think it was in Barbados at UWI, but they were all young people, all children. And doing all these different jugglings and things. But what I like about it, right? A part of it, they were teaching is that they don't care what the mistake, keep going.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So after a child drops something, Ollie, we didn't notice it no more. Mm. I kept myself weird. They said it could work for me too, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the children make a mistake, they're going on, my kid, that's going on. And after a while, like, you ever paying them that attention to mine. Because like, you do it perfect 9 times, that 1 time in me, eh? Mm-hmm. So it even flipped my brain, all me.
Mm-hmm.
It flipped my brain, saying you, like, should you get these children to do these things in a couple of weeks? Or this was something for years that these children was
doing? You know, there was some guy, I don't remember who, a philosopher, he described success as moving from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm.
Moving from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. When you look at it, right, that's all amazing, no man. That's all amazing. I stealing that one for sure. Go ahead, buddy.
So I was want to say one thing about our program. We do not make mistakes because even a mistake works. The whole idea is you drop a ball down exactly what you're saying. You pick it up again and to create innovation. Listen now, to create innovation, you have to keep doing it. You have to go in areas that you've never been before. You have to try things. You have to explore. You have to be curious. And that's the thing about our program. As I said, again, we let kids explore. The whole thing is that, you know, they're in a safe place where they can explore. They can perfect what they do. And that's what builds confidence. This is the right back to building confidence. You drop a ball in the show, you pick it up, you keep going. Kids get used to doing that all the time, and you'll see what happens. And that's when they build the confidence. That's when you see the security and the showmanship and just whatever they are. And they open up their hearts and you see what they do. And that's the thing about special about our program. And all the kids support each other. It's not like you're on your own. Everybody supports each other. They cover for each other. Like they become a family.
That what he just said
love that.
I think the best way to approach it, because children, they feel badly when they make a mistake, and so they're making it out of mistake don't matter.
Especially when you focus on it.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Cause I find that put your mind there though. I can show you something like, this year Ollie, I was in Canada, right, and I had asked him about skiing because you're seeing some children in Canada skiing and fast too, and skiing real fast. I saying like, oh boy, like, this skill level high, you know what I mean? Cause he taught it rough, but these little children doing it. And then one man that ski tell me that. When you skiing, you don't look at a tree.
Mm.
Because if you ever look at one tree, you can hit it.
So it's about focusing then.
You can imagine that? Men skiing at top speeds, and them ain't seeing no trees. You can't look at a tree. You can't ski and look at a tree. And so you like, these things, right? These things, they teach you a lot. And it just only goes to show, man, you know how sports was created. I know who created it, and that's God. But I know there got to be a deeper reason than just a medal. There's too much, man. There's too much metaphors. Then there's too many examples of discipline, Ollie and Matt. Then there's too much examples of structure. There's too many examples of togetherness. If you don't got a good football team that together, you know what I mean? I don't care how good your striker is. Because you've got teams, and Matt will know this, that the striker got real goals, most goals, and the team ain't in the game.
Yeah, but that part has hurt me, you know, to know that. Like, for instance, the most important
talk
man
about
in, the most important man in a football game to me is the goalkeeper.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If you send off 8 men and 3 left, 1 guy goalkeeper, you know, man.
Correct.
Now, he would have stopped about 40 balls during the game, which means he stopped 40 potential goals. Even if you pass back, you must have seen your own player pass back to the goalie and it score.
Yes.
That's happened before.
Yes.
So when they pass back, the ball saying, well, nowadays you can't kick it, you got to head it back or whatever. But the point is that if you make a mistake, it is a goal. So here, this guy scored this one goal, and the goalkeeper stopped about 40 goals, mm-hmm. because 40 times he saved the ball, whether it be a great attempt or not, he did save a goal. And now the one goal is going to get all this attention and get these fellas a big hero, when in fact the other guy is more valuable to the team as far as they're concerned. But that's how the game is promoted, you see.
Yes.
So that then it survives like that, because they promote and they give this guy that's going to score this goal the big money.
Yeah.
Where's the goalkeeper there?
Who's but professional the teams and even school teams, as you would know, as being a former coach, in that locker room, the conversation could be different, though. I know that from playing hockey, because I play hockey where, like my partner, Omar Drake, is called Ray Dog, getting enough of the glory mayonnaise, who's Chef Adrian Cumberbatch now, that's a pop-up on TV. He used to strike for me, so the men were getting enough of the glory. But I also know that in the locker room or in the team meetings, we would know how we got taught, because we know that if you left back weak and a striker on midfielder ever sinks that at all, they get murdered on that line.
Mm.
And you know that, man. Yeah, you know, if you coach a man and you see a weakness, you tell your striker, see, go and score, do.
Yeah, but you see, there's a counter to every time you counter, there's a recounter.
Yes.
So when I coach a football and I see you come up with something to counter what you're doing, I can counter what you just do.
Yes.
You know, so you have always that plan A and plan B, you know. But get it back to
so you see, we know, program. But you see, we that say plan A and plan B. You know, like all these things that show me that my sports go be sports and these activities. Sports, more just a medal,
for
man.
For me.
Right, for my finger.
Right, this is what I always say.
Go.
Sports prepare you for after school life more so than any academic subject. I can say it again.
I deal with you.
Sports prepares you for after school life more so than any academic subject.
I love
the
that.
The very first thing that you learn is to be on time. The very first thing. Because you see, if you come late, suppose you're not out in cricket, and you're late next morning, you automatically out, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
If you don't have 7 men to start a cricket game,
you lost.
If you don't got 5 minutes to start basketball, you lost.
Yeah, football.
But you know, you can come to friend class late and get the notes from somebody else and you gonna clear it, you know.
Yes.
So then a real penalty, you understand?
And then it teaches you
how to succeed, because every game that you try to win, that's where you go on to win. So you learn how to move up the ladder in your job, and invariably you will lose a game. So it teaches you how to accept defeat. You imagine you live your whole life, you never play a sport, you never encounter defeat, and suddenly so you're 45 and you get horned, or you can't pay your mortgage, or you can't pay your car note. You will freak out.
Listen to me, right,
because you know nothing. You won't get that lesson about how to fight, how to dust them and fight back.
Listen to me, right? My finger is so right. Right, you got to know that feeling, Ollie. Right. Listen, I you know, it's play hockey.
Yeah, Clarence, know what get horn is though.
Clarence, do you know when Matt say get horn? What does he mean?
Matt, who? Sorry.
Do you know when Matt Fingal just now said about get horn? Do you know what the term get horn means?
No.
Oh, good. That means it never happened to you then.
Yeah. No, it happened, but here, no. Clarence.
Okay, let me ask you guys a question.
Go ahead, buddy.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Anything. But hold on. We got a call, Ollie. Hold on, Clarence. Give me 5 seconds. You got a caller, and it's always great when we have international guests on the line and callers seek to call in to speak to us. I think it's absolute pleasure. So, good evening. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, and thank you so much for calling in.
Good evening, Sluggy. How are you?
I am
you
great.
You have an international caller on the phone.
Yes, of course I do. Don't you ever mistake it, man. International. How are you?
I am doing fine.
I have the great Mr. Matt Fingal here with me, and I have
He's
Clarence.
He's one of my favorite people.
Oh my gosh! Go ahead. The show is yours.
Thank you, man.
The show is yours.
Don't say thank you. No, you don't need to do that with me, Mr. Fingal. But you and I will talk about it at another time.
Yes, please.
You have so much manners, but you know I'm a senior. I love that. Respect.
Yes.
You know, Max Pingo just said something that really hit me hard.
Let's
when
have
he
it.
Said sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think every child needs to get involved in sports,
I deal with you.
Gymnastics, even this Cirque Soleil that's coming with this young gentleman from Toronto.
Yes.
They need this because it does teach you discipline, you know, in other things. Mm-hmm. You can go on and play the piano.
Yeah.
You can play an instrument, but you need that discipline. And you know why I call it? See, in school, we teach our children discipline.
Mm-hmm.
At home, we teach them discipline.
Yeah.
But there's no fun in it. But in sports,
that's
an outlet for them.
Yeah,
that's
an
outlet, you know?
Yeah.
If your kid's a hyper bunny like I was,
that
was the best thing my mother could have done was to put me into sports.
Mm.
From there, I graduated into dancing and acting and, you know, other things. Majorette for a football team in Canada. But, I mean, it started out with a fun thing. And sports are fun for children. Very few people with children will tell you they don't like sports. And you know what, Max, I find very sad? When we have our games with the young people, the track and field, all the heavyset kids are cheering up in the stands. And all the slim, trim children are racing. That would bother me.
Matt has songs about fat people. Matt sing about fat people. So I'm not even touching that.
No. But I did something that I want
to.
Pardon?
Something to that?
Of course you can. Hold on. Let Matt finish first, and then we'll have you, buddy.
Clarence, what was I going to say?
We ain't chasing you, Clarence. You good?
That when I was teaching at the school there.
Yes, please.
I recognize that same situation where the what we call. Well, people don't like to be called fat for some reason,
mm-hmm.
but they are.
Yeah, all right. Is it true?
I actually had to call a friend and said, "Boss man, are you thin?" "No, sir." But then you fat.
Right? Is it true?
So, and then I would say after me, "I am fat, sir. I am fat." Then he would say, and I said, "And I don't like it. So, are we gonna do something about it, sir?"
Right.
And
good.
Then we knock your knock. We gonna do something about it.
Good.
But what happened is, I created a race just to make them happy, and I didn't call it fat man race. I call it the set. I ain't got a chance. That when you look at the law school program, you see the set. I ain't got a chance, and it was for them.
Innovation, right? Ollie.
And then when it came up, you didn't have to go, like, for instance, all the other children that ran, they went through preliminaries. They
eliminations.
Come to the finals.
Yes.
Sports days finals.
Yes.
On this final day, when the man said, "Now is the set. I ain't got a chance." Really.
Mm-hmm.
All the fat fans will come out, and if they don't come out, the children are going to get them and bring them out and put them on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And they can give us a couple of stories now. The guy that won the first fat man race, his name was Alvin Holder.
Mm-hmm.
He got a trophy. All those children had to run eliminations, get a lot of points to get a trophy. Mm-hmm. All he had to do was win that one race.
Mm-hmm.
He got a trophy, and suddenly so he felt different. He felt like a champion. I am somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed that same day. He is now a bodybuilder. He has no fat in him. He's just pure muscle. And he has a PhD, he's studying, and he tells me that every class that he does, he tells them about this man that came with a beard and a beard and a beard. And he came and started teaching them different things. He's won. Another guy who won that fat man race ended up being captain of cricket, captain of football, and captain of track and field. He changed and became an athlete right after that. Another one became a swimmer, Ferguson. He's now a diver up in somewhere in Denmark, Sweden area. Where he works like 3 months a year or something like that. They do underwater welding or something like that they do. It changes you. You understand? So I didn't want to call it because people got this problem.
Lord,
if you ever call it fat, they get scared. But when so it just changes. From every year, it changes somebody like that. So that's why when she said that, you thought of that part.
Sluggy?
Yes, ma'am?
You've never met me, but you know I'm a tall, slender person.
Yes.
Because I've run. Max Single knows me because I've run in the senior games for many years.
Yes, of course.
Until he stopped me from running 1 year.
I stopped you from running.
That's another chapter of my book.
I went on the track and stopped you from running, put up my hand and said, "Stop."
No, what you did is you wouldn't get on the phone when I begged. I was late at filing, doing the admission. To the application to get into it.
Ma'am,
so I was late.
Ma'am, we have rules about being late.
I was sick. one day, and you refused. I begged everybody.
Yes, ma'am. It sounds like something I would do. Yes, ma'am. Because yes. We don't tolerate. You know we must be professional.
But I should have had somebody else go for me and pick up the application.
Yes.
So I'm going to let it slide because you're a friend of Sluggy's. That's the only reason.
Oh yes. Thank you. Oh, yes.
But you know I badmouth you all over Barbados.
Oh, dear. I didn't know that.
Because I am 100% Bajan, you know.
Yes,
and
you
we
are.
We don't call people fat. We say they're full-figured.
Mm. They're fat. But
no, maybe you could tell me. I don't understand. Why is the word fat so offensive? I mean, it's in the dictionary. It describes you how you are. And it doesn't tell any lie about you. What's wrong with the word fat? I don't understand it.
Because people are, they feel like you're shaming them. Some people can help it. They really can help the size that they are.
So when people look at me, holler bad, looking at my finger, all.
I do, and I don't gain weight. I'm like you, Max.
But ma'am, people look at me and shout me, bad looking, bad thing, all. And I said, my brother, you know what I mean? It doesn't bother me at all. And to me, it's like the opposite. If I were fat.
No, it's not.
Can I say something?
No, it's not.
Yeah, Clarence. Go ahead, Clarence.
First of all, what you feel, you have to look at everything outside of you that is greater. And you have to look at maybe you're stronger. So that strength that you have, you can share with someone that's disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying about our circus program is about teamwork, as you were saying earlier on.
Yes, sir.
Teamwork is about sportsmanship. Sportsmanship is not about always winning, as we always discuss.
True. Yes.
And with our program, we don't discriminate because we build confidence. To build confidence, you know, this is the thing. The key thing, social circus is taking kids at a disadvantage of the world. But you look at magazines, everybody's beautiful, everybody's pretty. That's the problem with the world today. The whole thing about this, our program, is about to build confidence. And how you do that, it doesn't make any difference who you are. If you're in a wheelchair, disadvantaged in any way, you can learn. And you learn, and there's nothing better than someone else showing you, or someone that's disadvantaged showing somebody that is advantaged how to do these things. This is where you bring confidence. This is where you bring people together. This is the key thing. It's to understand more greater than you. Why we're here in this program, we're doing things greater than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me. It's about that's how you make the world a better place. That's how you make these Bajan kids. You set examples so they start doing the same thing.
I love that. I have a question, right? We heard Mr. Fingal speak about encountering children, you know, who were fat, let's say. But he was encouraging them, and after that, one become a bodybuilder, one a swimmer, and how much it changed their lives, right? And let me ask you a question, because I'm sure many, many young people's lives have been changed through you. The first time after someone went through your program, and then, you know, you see them later, and you saw the progress in the young person, you saw the change. The first time that happened to you, what was your feeling, and what was your initial thought the first time it ever happened, when you realized how much someone's life was changed from what you are doing?
You know what? First of all, I have to go back. It changed me before it changed them. It had changed the other person.
Nice.
And I'll give you an example.
Go ahead.
This is the thing. I have to change first, and then I set the example. It comes from the top right down. It doesn't come from me. We do a show every year called Open House, where we have guest speakers. It's a cross between a TED Talk and a We Day. And we do the show where we have inspiration. We work on values every time: trust, empathy, respect, love, and these values. And we had these people come in and talk. And one of them was his name is Spencer West. Spencer West was born without any legs. He climbed Kilimanjaro without any legs. And he found a way to climb this thing. And he came in a wheelchair. And we had a stage, was like 2 feet high.
Yeah.
He wheeled himself in. He got off his wheelchair, got on the stage, and grabbed his wheelchair and put it on the stage on himself. And then 2 days later, I saw a kid in our area. He said, hey, you were the guy that put the program together. And I said, yeah. And then I said, what'd you learn from the program? He said to me, I learned not to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned because he saw that guy in the wheelchair not giving up. And these are the things that, so what I'm saying to you, it goes beyond how I look at it, because what you're saying now, look at one person, how this one person got through it. What about all the people that didn't get through it? And that's the concern of mine. It's not the one person that becomes the hero. It's all the other people that have tried the same thing and not gone there. And that's what we're concerned with as well, too. Again, square circles, all about children, and the circle around it and the square around it is a safe place for them to be in.
Yes, sir. Well, I would like to tell you that I am proud of what you're doing, and I you say you're going to Austin, you live here, Sagi?
Yes, Mark. You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave. But let me just say,
no,
right?
I mean, if you say you're going to Austin.
Yes, please. I have something at Austin. It's starting at 8 o'clock. So,
but I thought it was his thing that was at Austin.
No, mine. I have a youth showcase in Austin tonight. Yeah, you know me, the young ones. But let me just say, Clarence, I'm not telling you goodbye because I plan to have you back again. I ain't asking, I'm telling. So prepare for that. I think you are doing and the conversations, Matt, right? Yeah, yeah. And I always tell this off-air WhatsApp, but you've got to say this one here. The conversation that's come up from these different things, you know, you're thinking about programs, they're thinking about solutions, how to keep the youth engaged. Mm-hmm. You don't want the board, you want art, what do you want to do? Let me see how we can structure it, put discipline into it, but still make it yours and fun. And that would be always my, you know, if discipline could be fun, Matt.
But when you say put discipline, I don't understand that, Brad, because children love discipline.
Yes.
I don't know why people feel children.
Children love it. No, I agree.
Discipline.
Of course.
The difference between the children today and we, how we were, is that the children don't have the patience.
No, and you know the other thing. You know the other thing. Did we find? Children love discipline for real. And call what's happened, right, Mark and Ollie and Clarence? You see the results. When children see the results from being disciplined, that's made them love it even more. You will find more good children that like discipline than bad ones.
But no, what are you talking about when you're working with them? You know what it is? When they recognize that you know what you're doing, they like order, they like structure.
That is it.
You see? Now, let me give you an example. When I was a boy at school,
yes.
I had a teacher that didn't know what he was doing. You understand? He couldn't teach. He didn't know his subject. Uh-huh. But we hanging with him.
Uh-huh.
You understand? We hanging with him right through.
Yeah.
And but nowadays, like they had a guy when I was teaching, they had a guy stand up outside one day and I said, "Boss, man, what happened? You're going to class?" "Man, sir, man, I feel good in that class." I said, "What happened, you know?" "Sir, that man know what we doing, sir." I said, "Which man this is?" He said, "The man that started yesterday." You imagine that? The man that started yesterday. He dismissed you already, done with it. Because that's how these children are. They don't have that patience. They don't hang in with you like how we used to hang in. You know where it started from, though? They were indirectly taught not to have patience, you know, because of technology. Technology change, take them and get everything for them instant. You understand? That's what happened. In my time now, suppose I'm hungry now. You understand? And I tell my mother as a boy, I'm hungry. She said, she said, "Sit down and wait, the food don't cook."
Yes.
You understand? But now, when he's hungry now, it is she fed, it's Kentucky, it is microwave, it's instant coffee, it's microwave. Okay. Next thing, the telephone. We had a rotary phone. We had to have patience to make a phone call. A phone call could take 5 minutes. If it got in 3 zeros, you took, and you got to remember to take off your fingers before it came back wrong and we cut it off, you know, man. And then, but now there's a boop, boop. And if the phone busy in my time, you know you got to dial again. Another 5 minutes, you know. But now they're pressing the button and gone. The computer know the same thing. I used to go to pay my bicycle. Like I said, take me 20 minutes for them to find my name. She find the F, and then she find the FA, and she looking for, and then she changed that, finally got another cabinet for FB, and looking for to find the thing all. You understand? No, before I used to go in the computer, before you put F good, thing all come up. So everything is instant, and that's how they are programmed. They're indirectly taught not to have patience. And that's why you see, too, that we ain't playing the cricket game, the test cricket game, so good no more, because we ain't got that patience the last 5 days either. You see, so you know we got the other world. The world going through the same thing. But what those people are doing, they are taking their players and putting them in the environment to teach them how to last for 5 days. Because you got to have the kind of fitness. You know, as we play cricket good for 2 or 3 days, and that's about to fade away, you know. Because they say it's scientifically proven that it takes 24 hours to get full recovery. So if you finish cricket at 5 o'clock this evening. 24 hours is next, 5 o'clock this evening, at that same time. Yep. And you got to get back to the ground for 7 o'clock next morning to start at 10. So you got to be super fit to play test cricket. Yep. So you, because you're playing tired, but can't hold the same, this guy work out. Therefore, if you're in super fit, when the third day, fourth day come, you can start to wear down and wear down. And that's what happened to me.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Miss P, you said you wanted to make a final comment, Miss P?
Yes, I want... Oh. What's the young man from Toronto's name? So
Clarence.
Pardon?
Clarence. He's Clarence. And he's still there. He's got to leave them, but he's still there.
Okay. Clarence, I want to tell you one thing. When I was in Montreal visiting with my family from Barbados, I had a little niece that came, a rambunctious little niece from Austria. I mean, no control, very hyper, you know, and couldn't sit still. Well, her parents found out that there was a program just like yours. I think it was 3 weeks, though, that she went every day to these classes, and it brought out a different her. Even when she came home, she behaved differently at the dinner table. She was much calmer. And when we went to see her show, she was like a star. I was shocked to see this part of her. You know when you have the last show, the last day, they have a show for all the kids where they perform? She performed in that show, and I was shocked. I said, oh, my God. I said, because I was thinking, how's this instructor going to deal with this child? She's totally out of control. But she went on from there, and she today she's a young lady going to university, and she's doing very well in university. But she did go to the Cirque Soleil. I think it was called the Cirque Soleil workshop for children. It was held in Ville Saint Laurent, Montreal. She used to go there, I don't know. I think the parents here need to get involved in what you're doing. You know. Hello?
Hey, Clarence.
It's amazing. You know what? You said it, the tune. You guys are, you know what? It's so amazing that we're having this conversation because it's important. It's about the future. And you guys talked about tech and circus. That's why we're doing technology and circus. So we're, you know, because everybody's afraid of it. Mm. We're going to bring it together. We're going to bring it inside a circus. You're going to see things. Barbados is going to experience something. The world is going to experience something that we're going to start here that hasn't been done with technology and circus. And again, I like what you're saying about that girl. I see that happening with our kids a lot. I see that. And there's one other thing I have to go, but there's one other thing I want to tell you is what's important. I hear this all the time, and Sluggy said this to me earlier on when we first met, that the kids drop out at an older age when they get to 16 and they start getting into other things. And what we're going to do with our program, We're gonna have these kids at the same thing you were saying at the end of our program. We always do shows, but this year in November we're gonna do a big announcement with Blue Escape. We're partnered with Blue Escape. In November we're gonna do this festival and we're gonna have our kids perform with Seven Finger Circus, Square Circle, Humber College together, all together doing amazing performance. So now the kids will have something to work towards, and they could see a future, and they could see confidence and team building. And just like you were saying, and I love what you guys are doing. I love being here, and you guys are amazing people. And just to take the time to do this and talk about this and open doors, this is just the beginning. And the way I look at it, a social circus, the more seeds you plant, the less weeds will grow.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Miss P, thank you for your contribution, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Keith. And guys, I have to go myself.
Well, as the old folks was there, Clarence, walk good.
You walk good. But Clarence, just before you go, if you could just go over for the people who are now tuning in, because people have been calling other people and telling them to listen. And if you just go over quickly in terms of who you are and where you're here and what you'll be doing. Just if you can just give us a brief rundown.
Correct. My name is Clarence Ford. I'm executive director of a program called Square Circle from Toronto, Canada, which we're bringing to Barbados. And the dates we're going to have is August the 7th to the 19th, a two-week program. We're going to have 60 kids, and the age range is from 11 to 18 years old. We're going to change it, 18 years old. And if you're 19 on that borderline, we'll see. It's first come, first serve. Only 60 kids we're allowing. It's for free. And the number to call, I'm going to pull it up here. The number to call, if I can find it.
246-417-4776.
Say that again.
246, which is our area code, 417-4776.
Yes, and just mentioned Square Circle program, and it's part of Imagination Youth. We're partnering with the UWE and Humber College, Seven Fingers, and I'm going to come back on here, and the next time I'm going to come back, I'm going to give you some stuff to see, and we're going to have an amazing time. Guys, I thank you, Sluggy.
Thank you.
You guys have been amazing. Love you, bro.
One love to you, Clarence. Peace out, my brother.
All good, brother.
So that was Clarence. And you can also go to their website. You can type in the word squarecircle.ca to learn more about Clarence and the Square Circle and information coming to Barbados. Mr. Fingal.
Yes, sir.
Sluggy sent me a message today. He told me, make sure this song is in the system. It is in the system. And I've got a feeling you've got something to tell us about this young artist. Well, would you like us to play the song
yeah,
first?
Yeah, play the song, please.
No
song,
problem.
Yeah,
yeah. Family.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
music from Kizzy Kizzy.
Kizzy Kizzy. 9 years old.
9 years old, Mr. Fingo.
Yes, sir.
What's their actual name?
Her real name?
Yeah.
Kizzy Kizzy.
Kizzy Kizzy. But I tell you what, for me, I was listening to it, right? Yeah. And it started off, and it was a lot of fun, you know? Mm. Then it got serious.
Yeah, it got serious.
Then it got serious.
There's a strong message there. It's simply, but it's a simple message, but strong. Mm. It's saying that that you're coming down on us with all these things, but you're the problem. You know, it's just like if you don't guide children, looking for us to guide them, and if you don't guide them, instinctively they're gonna guide themselves. And the thing is, what do they know? They guide themselves, so they're gonna do children things. But they are copying, like you say, what she said, she copied from the family.
That's right.
See, they told her these things. They told her good things, all things. They learn manners, make a man, all these things. And then, but they also said, you know, do what we tell you to do, and do what you see we do. So if I curse at my mommy, because that was the mommy doing. Yeah. If I swear like that was she doing, how are you going to blame me? Mm. So the whole thing is, if you want them children to be good children, change, we got to change first, and then they will copy good things. Simple as that.
I agree 1,000,000%. Product of the environment, you know.
That's right. That's the message.
A child really is programmed by its society, mm-hmm. you know, and what it is around. There are many people today who act childish simply because, as a child, they had childish, they carried their child with them into adulthood because they never went through anything to make them realize, let's leave this childish stuff alone, you know? Mm. And it's all about observing, man. Children observe it and they soak in everything around them. This song is such a serious, 9 years old?
9 years old. But what is happening here too is that you got to understand too that people seem to understand that children will get away with things that they can get away with. In other words, as long as they recognize they get away with it, they will try it. And somehow they seem to think that an adult would not do the same thing. But to me, philosophically speaking, there's a difference between a man and a child when it comes to getting away with something. I mean, if you expect the adult to change them, and in Barbados, I believe 18 years old makes you an adult, correct? So what is going to happen at a minute to midnight? When you're doing foolishness as a child right up to 17 and enough, and now at a minute to midnight, in 1 minute time, you can become 18. What's going to happen so miraculously to change you from what you're doing just now, to change you now? So you're just going to continue.
That's right.
So I don't understand why they don't understand that adults will do the same thing that children will do. So you got to curb this thing from early, early, early. And with children and discipline, I find that they talk about like flogging children and all that, right? I believe, from my observation, that if a judge does something at 2 years old, and you get a little tap, and they get a little sting, just a little tap, you put your finger and tap them about it, and they got a little sting in it, and you explain to them in your way, they shouldn't do that, you say, don't do that, and you get a little tap. They associate that little pain with what they just did. The thing is that when they do that again, you have to do the same thing again. And then they understand, but when I do that, I get a tap, and so they don't want me to do that,
right.
And that registers. But if they do it, and you tap, and they forget and do it again, and then you don't do nothing, and they disappear. Well, last time I do that, and they want baby talks, last time I do it, I get that same, but I don't can't count the big thing, you know? And you're confusing them. So that's what you mean, you got to be consistent.
Right.
And as long as you're consistent, you get results. But I think that's the problem I think we have with a lot of our parenting. Some of our parents, like at the time I was thinking that you should get a certificate to be a parent. I had come to some things as a teacher. I put together some little, I write in a book really, I put together a little thing that happened. But if I tell you some of the things I experienced as a teacher, but blow your mind, you know, man. Some of these parents, I mean, one time a woman came out to school and she came and her master sent for me, 10 minutes more wants to me. And she came and went to the office, she didn't say nothing. She just looked at me. I said, ma'am. And she just looked at me and walked around me. look at me, look up in the head. She was short, look up at me and see. And then she looked and make sure that I got on shoes. And then she walked around me and I see you saying, ma'am. And then suddenly she said, I just want to see her. I said, ma'am, I just want to see her. I just want to see if he's a human being just like me. I said, ma'am.
Jesus.
She hollered for her. Well, you don't do nothing. You don't do nothing unless you said to him. So I just want to see you. You know, and they confused me. So I don't know, man. There's some things here, but some of these parents, I don't know. And I just wonder if you had to get a certificate. Suppose you were allowed. I was thinking, okay, you're not allowed to bring home the child. If you go in the hospital and give birth, you can't bring home the child until you have this certificate. Is that your parent? But I get the feeling from dealing with somebody said that they were left the child on the angle home.
It's an interesting time we're in, you know, and you're seeing it all over the place, man. You're seeing the unrest in the children. Every single thing is connected, and we try to compartmentalize stuff and separate stuff. Everything is connected, and especially with the children and what they see and what they're surrounded with, which is us. So if we're not doing the things that we want them to do, they're not going to do them. You know, we got to be the example. It's very simple to me.
The next thing that happened to is that they're using the YouTube and the different, you know, gadgets to get them to keep quiet so that they could do their work or whatever, rather than spend the time like how my parents would discipline me and keep talking, keep quiet, go and read, go and do this or whatever. They would just give them these things and leave them alone.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're not paying attention to what they're learning. I know one guy told me that he heard his son speaking Spanish. After a while, the boy was there. He didn't know that he was learning the Spanish. Because if you're now learning a language the first time, it'd be easy for you to learn because you don't got no confusion in your head. He started talking to his father in Spanish. And then sometimes you watch, they got some cartoons and stuff that people, that they curse, you think curse, real curse, you know, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they don't stop to, and then when one of these children start using the words, they want to get where you get that from. But it does, again, you know, they just, I don't know. It's a sacrifice that you have to make with children. It's time that you got to put in. And you get results eventually, but if you're not willing to make that sacrifice, the brother, there's nothing of worth that has ever been invented that didn't experience sacrifice. Sacrifice has to happen at some point.
Yeah, I will go further though in terms of saying that we as a people, Matt, as a culture, we got to look at ourselves. I'm always on the radio talking about the ZRs. Mm. You know, I mean, every day we see it. I mean, I'm not 50 years old yet.
Mm.
And in my time in Barbados, I've seen where, you know, the Barbados with these small little vans at first, these ZRs with these small ones, and then they got bigger.
Mm.
And I remember when they banned the music, they banned the colors and everything. But even up to every, I find it's even more prevalent now than it was back then in terms of the bullying aspect.
Mm.
And if you're a child and you're going to school with your parent, whether you're walking, you're in a car, or you're in a van, you experience so much bullying on the road from the ZR culture, you know? And if you see that, and you see they're getting away with it, not only you see that, you see songs being written about it to make those guys look like superstars. Yeah. It's become a part of our... Somebody sent me a video the other day with a song with people walking up in a van, and it's a song about vans and stuff and the van culture. And it's cool. Right now, for children growing up, that's cool. I remember there was a song, "The only way you can get girls is if I become a bus conductor." You know, and this is our culture, and we sit here, we laugh, and we smile and stuff about it. But the children taking it all in too, you know. And for them, it's not, for us, it's no problem. So for them, it can't be a problem.
I remember, I think I must have said something in this program because I heard something came out, and I think it was Brass Tax or one, but somebody had said about music on buses. And I think the guy misunderstood me because he said that, Max said this, but again, they can still go hear it on YouTube. You can hear it on YouTube, but what the point I was making with buses, I mean, there should never be any music on any bus. When I travel, I get on a bus in Canada, or I get on a bus in the States or England, I don't hear music. People got on the headphones, listen to the music they want. You should not get up on a bus and got to listen to music that the music driver want you to hear. You can put everywhere on listen to music, it's music that you want to hear. You go, but when you're on the bus, it is what, if you've got 80 people, it is 80 different people that come from, maybe, especially in America, that come from 80 different cultures, you understand? So why should they have to hear your music? I want to hear what I would choose to listen to. So I have my own earphones and I listen to what they want. I should not be compelled to listen to this. Therefore, I don't think any bus in Barbados, minibus, maxi bus, whatever bus, transport, whatever, should have music on it at all. No bus. The individual should choose to listen to what they want. Sometimes you want to listen to quiet. You understand, but you know, you need to listen to quiet. You just don't want to hear nothing. You just want to sit down peacefully. You don't even want to talk to nobody. You should have that right. You shouldn't be bombarded with bugger down on a bus. And that's the point I was making. And also with children going to school, I don't feel like they should have it, especially when they should be playing on the bus. When you get out of the bus, you know that the last music is be pounding in your head, especially if you got a good melody, is be hearing it for a good while before you settle down.
That's true.
And you go to the classroom and you're trying to concentrate and this music's still bumming in your head.
That's true.
And if it's lyrics about killing people or something, that's what you hear when you should be studying, you know? And I was using the analogy about a fellow that had to get surgery. And he had two surgeons, and he didn't know which one. Apparently, all too good. Mm-hmm. And he fella tell him, well, you pass by and check and see how they're operating and choose which one. And when he get what he won, that light dance hall, he had his two knives there, and he just rubbing the knives together and jamming. And when he get the next booth, the fella like classical music. And the fella was there, but he's there, you know. And that was, and then the guy asked him, well, which one you want, operate by you? Obviously, you want the classical operate by you. So it's just to show you what the power of music. I remember a time where cricket, the guy that had the bat next was there. I see them nodding. But he should be focusing on watching the cricket to see how the ball is moving, what is going on, how fast, if it got pierced out and get started, and say, well, you're playing the front foot, I can play front foot too, or whatever. He was just grooving his music. So I just took off the headset, listened to it. If you hear it was this American rap. If you hear the language, man, you know, you're talking about mother this and mother that, and he's grooving. And so when he go there and that's the mood, the next day he out, like, no. So it's
Not even anything like positive and inspiring like a Bob Marley song or anything.
It was something else, man. So the music is a powerful tool. I mean, look at the messages that it can carry. Look at the Bob Marley got a song called Three Little Birds. Mm. Got more. That's about five lines, and it's such a powerful song. If you ever analyze it and break it down, I woke up this morning to the rising sun. You know, the sun always suggests positivity. Mm-hmm. Three little birds upon my doorstep. Mm. The three little birds. Right away, you got like innocence and purity, singing sweet songs of melody pure and true, honesty and truth. All that wrapped up inside there. You understand? And then at the end of all that, there with the positivity and the tranquility and everything, and the peace, and because the tree, you know, suddenly so he used hope. Don't worry, everything will be all right. You understand how powerful that song is? And just five lines.
Serious.
And so you got that kind of power. But the world make up with a balance. So yeah. Just as you have good, you got bad.
In terms of the balance, I'm going to go back to the ZR point one more time, Matt. Because I'm not saying, okay, because I've seen they have some ZRs that play music and the tourists, because tourists come here sometimes just for that experience.
Okay.
Just to get in a van, to hear the music, etc. We have vans now that are just about that, with the open windows
so
and stuff.
So they have, you mean ZR that have tourists only?
Yeah, I've seen some like tours with tourists only, just going through town with like the music playing. I don't think these are public transportation. I stand to be corrected though. That's 100%.
You see, if you go down the line, you know, you're going to be tricky because you're going to allow certain people to play and certain people to play. If it's this guy, like the Cassius Clay, he used to drive one of them safari things, I think. I remember seeing him drive. You know, and we would take out with Julie Dash, we'd go, COVID kind of stopped it, but we'd go with the children at summer and the old people at Christmas.
Right.
And we'd drive and take them on tour and, you know, give them a good time. And we sing and we have music playing too. So like that now, we're all there for the same purpose and the same reason and the same everything. So if music is part of it, maybe that can be understood. But when I get on the bus, I pay my money to get a ride. I don't think that I should have to hear what you want to hear. What is what you want to say no peacefully.
Totally.
And that's what I think that's what happens in the other countries. So I don't know any other country that is carrying on so.
Probably one or two more in the Caribbean, you know.
There's the Caribbean, but we got to get some order. We are close to this order, you know.
I would agree with you 1,000,000%, Mark. Mark, we are running out of time, so I'm going to ask you for some final comments before you go. I know Sluggy's going to bring you back on the show again and again and again, and I'm thankful for that.
Final comment. What
you could do is tell me a little bit about Soca Baby, though. How did you come up with Soca Baby?
Well, I was trying to write a song that had a twist. My songs has got like a story. Mm-hmm. You know, it don't just be this, that, and it's got a twist. So I wanted a twist. And I don't know if you paid attention to it, but it has the twist at the end where I was communicating with the DJ all along, telling him about this woman, how she looks sexy and all that. You know, I want a wine punchy, because when they said jam is wine punchy. And so when a soccer baby to me is like, they got some kind of carnival baby. I don't know if you heard that term before. Yeah. That's the, I mean, a woman or a set of people that they go and they love carnival, love it to the max, and they have every effect, everything. So a soccer baby, someone know that, love this, because she don't just go to any effect, she go to effect with soccer music. So yeah. She's a soccer baby, she just wants soccer. So from the time I see the woman dancing, the visual is that, she dancing, like she's winding slow and moving, that's a soccer baby there. Mm. So when he then went and introduced me now, and then I said, well, it's Mackie. I hear the party where you join me. She said, sure, but I'm Jackie. But my friends is really call me Soca Baby. But I know it emboldened me, you know, because that's my thinking that she's a Soca Baby. No, she said she's one and two. Yeah. So I tell the DJ, play the Soca. Play the Soca. Don't play nothing, don't play no tata, don't play no cha cha, and don't just Soca tonight. Because I say, woman, I've been, you know, I said, Benny, you know, because that's what the Gandhi say. Mm. You know, we just said, Jamaica said daughter, but then we said woman, but then so I tried to hit the whole Caribbean in terms of to understand what it is that you see this woman that look good, you know, and I want to dance with you tonight. So you tell the DJ, so me and the DJ now started connecting. I say singing the DJ, mm-hmm. Play the talker, and he playing the talker. Mm-hmm. I see a woman here, so suddenly saw the woman when we start to dance now, the woman now tantalizing me, got me hypnotized. And I only thinking about, oh Lord, the same thing. So I tell the DJ, man, play the talker. I see a daughter, oh Lord, I can tell with him. Suddenly, so she realized what's going on, and she had on my shoulder and said, listen, keep an eye on the DJ here. If you see him coming, start running. He's my husband. He's the baddest man in town. That was she telling me, the baddest man. But here it is now. I mean, I giving this man thing. I don't. So all of a sudden, is the woman that I dancing with? So I in trouble. But I got to get out. How I can get out? And I still got to be tough. So I holler, DJ, can I tell you, play the soccer, man? I go back, play the soccer. And at that point, you got to take it as a mad, but no, because I tell you, but here I switch it up again. Me dancing partner, she now tell me that you the baddest DJ in town. That's the twist right there. She didn't tell me so. She said he's the baddest man. Mm. But when I said he's the baddest, that she tell me he's the baddest DJ in town, he no feel good. Yeah. He can play the soccer.
He gonna live up to it.
He can play the soccer. And what gonna happen as soon as the thing done, I got through the door, though.
He gonna escape. But it's true though, Mark. Man, you know, I was talking to somebody this week, and it's like, I don't know what happens, but 50% of Barbadian women, you do not see them until it's crop over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many soca babies out there, many women who do not party unless it's crop over.
And let me tell you something, they look goodly.
Oh, man.
It is upset my equilibrium, man.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's made me for Uzi Uzi.
I'm your brother.
No, and as you gotta temper myself.
I'm your brother, Mike.
Yes.
Mike, I gotta tell you, man, it's been a pleasure talking to you and having you
every
here.
Every time you
Sluggy's gone to Oystein, so I'm sure he'll be starting up in a matter of minutes. But Mike, thanks a million.
Yeah, thanks you too, sir, for your patience. You probably could have been a doctor. But you need patience to have
I'm a patient person, Mike. Thanks too to Clarence, thanks too to Miss P. And don't forget, this is Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme.
You know, if I had not been sure, I didn't know that Miss P had me marked. So, you know, man.
Man, she got you marked. Miss P. She said she won't have a word with you in private. So at some point, you're going to look out for her, man. Yeah?
I don't know if I want to be in private.
All the best to you, man. Yes, sir, one love. Yeah. Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme. Wow.
Baby, whoa.